You know, most people will say, when asked, even though the number is dwindling now, that the Bible is important, that it has the answers for our lives, that we need to know what it says. And yet most people, when you actually ask them, know very little about the Bible. Oh, they know what somebody has told them. They know what they've heard is in the Scriptures, but they've never bothered to check it out for themselves. As a matter of fact, in a recent survey that was taken, there were some who found that out of those who claim that the Bible was important, 62% of them didn't know that the book of Isaiah was even in the Bible. 11% thought it was in the New Testament. Only a few knew it was actually in the Old Testament. Also, in that same survey, they found that 12% of adults who claim to believe the Bible thought that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And 16% said there was a book of Thomas in the New Testament, and 33% weren't even sure if there was a thing like that. By the way, there isn't. I handed out a list of questions. This is sort of a self-test to see what you know. Does the Bible actually say this, or is this just stuff people have said? The first 9 are true and false questions. The others are questions for you to write your answer in. When you leave today, as you go out in the lobby, there is another copy of this, but the difference is on the copy out in the lobby, the answers are on the back. So you can grade yourself and see how you did on this to see what you actually know about God's Word. I give you just a little taste of it here. In question number 1, true or false, the entire Bible was written in the 100 years after Jesus' death. That's something that a lot of skeptics will say. They'll say, well, the reason that they were able to predict these things happened was they wrote it down after it happened. Well, the New Testament was actually written within 100 years after it happened. But the prophecies about it, the Old Testament, were written centuries, even up to thousands of years before they actually happened. So that question is false. The entire Bible was not written after Jesus' death. The Old Testament was written long before, and all the prophecies that were fulfilled were written long before then. Or, question number 6, true or false? Scripture says money is the root of all evil. How many times have you heard that? Is that what Scripture says? You know, when they asked that in the survey, 49% said, yep, that's right. 37% said, no, that's not right. There's nothing wrong with money. Well, what does the Bible actually say? The Bible actually says it's the love of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil. You see, it's not money itself. There's nothing wrong with money. It's those who love it, those who put it in place of God, who put it more important than anything else. Those are the ones who are going to find themselves caught up in all kinds of evil. Or question 13. What did Jesus say is the greatest command? Well, you'd think that'd be fairly simple, but yet 56% of the people said the most important command that God gave was love your family. Well, what does the Bible actually say? Jesus said the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first and greatest command. Love God first. Now, love your family is important, but that's not the greatest command. So you see, a lot of the things that we think are in the Scriptures really aren't in the Scriptures. We need to check and see what we know, and if what we know is actually what God said, or if it's just something that we've heard. Let me give you one more statistic here. 75% of the people surveyed in this survey, this was just last month, said that the Bible teaches God helps those who help themselves. Well, does the Bible say that? Well, actually, it was said by Algernon Sidney in 1698. and repeated by Ben Franklin in 1757, but the Bible doesn't say that at all. Actually, the teaching in the Bible is that God helps those who recognize and need their own need. When they see that they need Him, then God will help them. God helps those who recognize they need His help, not those who help themselves. So, did God give us a book we couldn't understand? Did God give us a book that was so hard that it didn't make sense? Why do people have such a lack of knowledge? Of course it's not that God gave us a book that we can't understand. We're told in places like John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, you've heard the last part. But the important part is, if you hold to My teaching, we have to learn what Jesus said, we have to follow it, then we're going to be free. People are looking for freedom in all kinds of places and not finding it because they're not looking in the right place. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "We've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." You see, God wants us to understand what He wrote. He's given us His Spirit to help us understand what He wrote. And in verse 16, we're told, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that He might instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ." He wrote it down for us. We have it in the Bible. We have it in the Scriptures so we can know what He wants us to know. And one more, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another, so there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." God wants us to understand the Scriptures the same. Well, if you can't understand them, if they're so hard, then how can you understand them the same? They're not hard. All we have to do is read them, listen to them, and follow what they say. You see, that's only going to happen if we really want to know God, if we really want to know what His Word says, if we want to, well, as the Bible says, crave it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we're told, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." You see, until we really want to know what God says, we're not going to make any effort to find out. We need to really want to know what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live. He wants us to dig into His Word. Jesus told the leaders in John 5:39, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me." If you study God's Word, you're going to see Jesus. He is God's representation. He shows us what God is like. We're also told to correctly handle the Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of truth." We need to be able to take God's Word and use it properly, understand it. We need to be able to discern and listen to and obey it. Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to Me." How do we listen to the Father and learn from Him? By reading His Word. By studying the Scriptures, by knowing what the Bible says. So if that's true, why don't people understand the Bible? Well, that same survey just last month said 57% don't even read the Bible. 37% read it once a month, or once a week rather, probably when they're sitting in church and the sermon gets boring, they start reading something. But only 6% read it every day. And it's interesting that the survey found that those 6% were the ones who said, "The Bible has the answers I'm looking for." 94% said, "The Bible may have some answers, but I need something else too." You see, only 6% said God's Word has the answers that we need to live our lives properly. And of those 6% who read it every day, they averaged only about 7 minutes a day reading it. Now, how can you learn much with that little time spent in study. And of that 6%, 55% were 62 or older. 35% were 35 to 61, and less than 10% were under 34 years old. You see, it's no wonder we have so much problems in our nation and our young people going off this way and that way. They don't know what God's Word says. They've never studied it. They've never heard it. They've never seen how God's life is so much better. So why don't people study? You know, if that's the answer, read God's Word, study it. Why don't they do it? Well, 31% in the survey said the Bible's too difficult to understand. I just can't read. Well, if you're reading King James, it probably is. I'll just be frank with you, because we don't talk like that anymore. Shakespeare might have, but we don't. And so you need to find a scripture that you can read and understand. It's written in modern English. Somebody said, well, isn't the King James Version the authorized version? Says it right in the book. Well, yeah, who says authorized? Authorized by who? By King James. He was the one who said, put it in the language of the people. You know how radical that was in those days? The Bible was written before then in Greek or in Latin, and King James said, put it in English, and people went, oh, you can't do that. He authorized it. So when we put it in our modern English, what's the difference? God wants us to understand His Word. You see, is it too difficult? Well, Acts 17, verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. Here's an apostle Paul comes into the place and starts preaching. And the people come to hear him. And he quotes Scripture. And they didn't just say, well, you know, he ought to know. I mean, he studied it. They actually took out their Scriptures and read the Scriptures to see if what he said was right. That's what God wants us to do. Check it out. He doesn't want us just to believe it because somebody said it. He wants us to be sure of what we know. That same study found that 73% of Catholics don't study the Bible at all. 45% of Protestants don't study it. And 40% of those who claim to be born again have never studied their Bible. That's just amazing to me. How can we know anything if we're don't study it? Well, some people have been told they can't understand it without somebody explaining to them what it means. Other people just follow family traditions. You know, we've always done it this way. Instead of checking to see if what they're doing is according to God's Word. You know, most people can't pick up a Bible and point to the verses for why they believe what they believe. And yet we're told in the Scriptures in 1 Peter 3:15, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope you have. We ought to be able to say, I believe this because this verse says it. I believe that because it's here in the Scriptures. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand His Word and know what it says. You know, there are some people who spend more time with Swindell or Swindoll and Lucado than they do with Peter and Paul. The Bible has to be the source of our belief, not what somebody says, no matter how big a following they have. And then there are other people who just don't want to study the Bible at all. They don't want to really know what it says. John 3:19, but this is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Some people don't want to know what the Bible says because they don't want to change their life. You know, if God wants me to do something different, I don't want to change. So I don't want to read it. I don't want to know what it says. You see, the Bible condemns sin. And so it makes some people uncomfortable. Now, it speaks about those who are willingly ignorant. In 2 Peter 3, verse 3, first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, where is this coming? He promised, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on just as it has since the beginning of creation. There are some people who will make fun of the Scriptures because, well, Jesus said He's coming back and He hadn't come back yet. Well, the Bible tells us God is patient, wanting everyone to repent. He doesn't want people to end up in hell. But his patience is going to run out. And one special thing, you see that statement underlined there at the end of that verse? That statement is called, in science, uniformitarianism. It's actually got a name. Everything goes on just like it has since the beginning. That's the premise for evolution. God didn't create anything. It's always been that way. It just keeps going on the same way, always existed. Even the scripture mentions evolution, although it doesn't specifically say it, but it gives the premise of it. You see, God knew what we were going to face. He knew what we were going to have to deal with. But is ignorance an excuse? Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Well, we can't say, I didn't know. God says, look around. Look at the stuff around you. How can you say that just happened? It doesn't make any sense. God says there is no excuse. In fact, we're told that punishment awaits those who refuse to obey and follow God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, we're told when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. God says, if you're not going to listen to me, there's no alternative. You see, when God created the world, heaven and hell were put in place. Hell was designed for the devil, for the angels who didn't keep their proper place, who sinned. But if we choose to ignore God and do the same thing as they did, we're going to end up the same place. God is perfectly fair. He lets us choose where we will spend eternity. You see, God expects five things from us. He expects us to read His Word. He expects us to study it, to meditate on it, to apply it, and to teach it. Well, some people will read it, but they just read words in one ear and out the other. God says, study it. Think about what you just read. Meditate on it. If something seems a little difficult, keep thinking about it. Think about it over and over again. Check out other verses. See how it relates to other things. Try to put it together. See what God is telling you. And once you understand it, apply it to your life. Act that way. And then teach it. You don't have to always teach it in words. You can teach it in your actions, in the things that you do. So if that's what He wants, why don't we do those things? Well, because our minds get cluttered with other stuff. In Matthew 13, 22, Jesus told a parable. And part of the parable was about seed that was thrown in a thorny ground. And He said, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. You see, sometimes our lives are thorny ground. I mean, we get so caught up in everything going on around us. It's not that we don't want to study. It's not that we don't want to know what God's Word is. We're just too busy to work the Bible into our routines. Food, family, finances, fun take up too much space and don't give the room Word to grow. You see, Lot got busy down in Sodom making opportunities. He was quite involved down in Sodom and he lost his family because of it. Genesis 13. Martha got busy in the kitchen when Jesus came to visit. And because of it, she missed the chance of a lifetime to sit down and listen to Jesus teach. Listen to what He said here in Luke 10, verse 38. Jesus and His disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. You see, she got caught up in everything that, well, there we've got visitors. I got to do this and this and this and this and the other. I've got to take care of all this stuff. She came to Him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord said, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, I'd rather you just sat down and listen to what I had to say then get caught up in all the things going on around you. Job said in Job 23, verse 12, I've not departed from the commands of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Is that the way we feel about God's word? Is it more important to us than our daily bread, our food? And sometimes, even those who do take the time to read the scriptures don't really meditate on it. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Sometimes we just got to read it and think about it. Let it run around in there. And when it runs around in our mind for a while, it starts to gel. We begin to understand what God is telling us, what he wants of us. Did you know that only 14% of churchgoers actually go to a Bible class? Simply hurriedly reading a chapter before bed or skimming a section is not going to do much good. We have to want to eat up the words. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. They were a joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah said, I want to take your words and make them part of my life. I want to eat them up. You know, the average person spends 7.5 hours working, 7.5 hours sleeping, 5.25 hours of leisure activities, 1.5 hours in housework, 1.5 hours eating, 3/4 of an hour grooming, and for those who study, which is just 6%, less than 7 minutes a day. Where's our priorities? How does it all fit together? You see, we spend thousands of dollars to send someone to school or to college, but a free weekly Bible class is ignored. When we stay home from Bible study, or we stay home from worship for sports practices, or to go to bed early, or to be fresh for the next day, we're not seeking first the kingdom, and that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We make sure our kids attend school and get their homework every night, but we let them skip Bible class. Never check their spiritual homework. You see, many people don't even know that the Bible has two sections. That it's divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. That there are two covenants, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. We live under the New Covenant. We live under the New Testament. Paul wrote in Colossians 2, verse 14, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. On the cross, Jesus ended the Old Testament, and the New Testament began. Most people don't realize that. They want to go back to the Old Testament and pull out a verse here or there and say, that's what I should live by. We're living under the New Testament, the New Covenant. We need to understand the difference. That's part of studying God's Word, knowing what's right and wrong. If we don't understand this, we're not going to be able to properly understand God's Word. And when we do study the Bible, we have to take into consideration who's speaking. For instance, in Genesis 3, the snake was speaking to Eve. Well, you don't want to take what the snake said. In Matthew 4, the devil was speaking to Jesus, telling him, throw yourself down off the temple, the angels will catch you. You don't want to listen to the devil. In Psalm 14:1, there are some who say, well, the Bible says there is no God. Yeah. Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart there is no God. You going to listen to the fool? Others say, well, you know, babies are born in sin. And they say, the Bible says that. Well, in John 9:34, there were some false teachers who were talking, and they said to a man who was born blind but Jesus healed, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They were saying, you were born in sin. Babies aren't born in sin. Babies don't have sin. We have to note the context. Who's doing the speaking if we're to understand God's Word? And some don't study the Bible because, well, quite frankly, they're prejudiced against it. Wearing sunglasses makes the world look dark. Putting prejudice over our mind's eye dims the gospel light. Satan loves to use prejudice against the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan loves to try to use prejudice against God's word. And others try to make the scriptures fit their beliefs. You know, they've already got their mind made up. I know what God's word said. I heard somebody on the radio say this or that, so that's what it says. And they never bothered to check it for themselves. Jesus said about those who are listening to him, this people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and I would heal them. Even the people Jesus was talking to, he said a lot of them don't want to listen. They've already made up their mind. Others try to twist God's word to make it fit what they already think. Now, if they go in with a preconceived notion, this is what God's word says, and then they start reading something and it doesn't match up, they say, well, that can't be right. And so they look around for some verse that they can twist and make fit whatever they wanted to. Jesus reprimanded the Jews for doing that very thing. When he said that their hearts are hard and calloused and they're not listening, they're not seeing what I'm telling them. And when we study the scriptures, we find one thing important that we're all going to have to answer for what we do. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You see, some will tell you that just call on Jesus' name. Just naming Jesus, giving him an occasional nod, trying to slide by with a minimum is going to be enough. But Jesus said, that's not going to get you to heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just calling his name isn't going to be enough. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You have to do what God has said. You have to follow his word. We need to obey what Jesus has commanded. He said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And what did he command? Well, in John 6, 29, he said that we must believe in it. In Luke 13, 3, he said we must repent of our sins. We must realize that those sins are what's separating us from God. We must acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son. We must confess our faith. Matthew 10, 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And we must be baptized, immersed in water, to have our sins taken away. Mark 16, 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus is sending out his disciples to preach. And he tells them this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Why do you make disciples? You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. You see, if we're going to teach everything that he commanded, we need to know what he commanded. We need to know what his word says. Don't fall prey to the lament found in Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to study his word. We need to know what it says. Not just believe it because somebody said it. Don't just believe it because I said it. Read it for yourself. That's why I hand out the scriptures, so you can read it for yourself. That's why I put them up on the screen. So if you have trouble reading the size 14 print, like I do sometimes, got to go to 16 or 18, you can read it on the screen where it's much bigger. Huh? Read it for yourself. See that that's what God's word says. Do you need to obey his word? Do you need to wash away your sins in baptism this morning? Do you need to rededicate part of your life to him and come back to him? We invite you to do so as we stand together and sing our invitation song.